What's that? Oh, yeah, ages 4 to 11. You're dismissed right now into your Sunday school class. Please do that. God bless you and the teachers. And Christian has a word for us he'd like to share. So thank you.
Very good, Chris. Can you get me mic'd up? Bob, do you hear me? Very good. Well, most of you are already familiar with my ordeal this summer. Basically, the month of July for me was a month that you could cross off in my calendar. I was basically laying in the hospital most of the month, and Jesus Christ catered to me. We sang, you know, when he took the fall, his foremost thought was about us. When I was in the hospital, and I remember going into my first operation with a perforated appendix, I went into that operation, I closed my eyes, and I was not totally sure on which side I would wake up. Because when you have a perforated appendix, that's almost your death sentence. Shouldn't come to that. I would not recommend it to anyone, but it happened to me. So, you know, I had no choice. He used that time in the hospital to remind me of a few things. And today I want to share with you how he reminded me that he always took care of me. Always took care of me my entire life. He brought back into my memory two ladies that were extremely instrumental in my life. And this is how the subject for today was born. The subject is mothers. But not just mothers in the biological sense, but also mothers in the sense of somebody caring for you. And I would also like to say this is not just a sermon for ladies or for women, but it's also a sermon for us men. And you will see why. When God put these two women on my heart and asked me to prepare something, I didn't know exactly how he would lead me in his word, but this is how he led me. He led me to the book of 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, and the 2 Chronicles, books of Chronicles, is full of mothers. I did not even know that. But that's how he led me. So I would like to read a few things to you from 1, 2 Kings. I will just get rid of this. 2 Kings chapter 21 starts, and it said, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. His mother's name was Hephzibah. So that's one of the mothers that the book of Kings writes about. Then in 2 Kings 21:19 it says, Amon, right? I don't know how you would like to pronounce it. I pronounce it Amon. Amon was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 2 years. His mother's name was Meshulameth. Sounds like crystal meth to me, but it's Meshulameth. In chapter 22, then, in 2 Kings, God leaves us a message here that says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 21 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. And then it says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all of the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. So what God brought to my mind in the hospital was all about Jedidah. I didn't know that. But here it is, Jedidah, the mother of Josiah, of King Josiah. And it is amazing when you look at these mothers, and there is plenty of them, we will go through that, but when you look at these mothers, the Bible doesn't tell you much more than their name. I researched left and right. I thought I would go to the Jewish Mishnah and the Midrash and, you know, check these women out. and nothing, absolutely nothing other than their name and whose mother they were. And this was really interesting to me. Now, we need to understand, when we want to look at mothers, sometimes it's not just important to look at the person, but it's also important to look at all the circumstances of that particular mother. And when you look at Jedidah, you would say, well, she didn't do anything extraordinary. You know, she wasn't something special. But we need to go back into history and look, for example, at King Manasseh, whose mother was Hephzibah. King Manasseh was, the way the Bible describes it, the most evil king that reigned in that region. It was interesting. It was the people of God. It says here, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had destroyed. He also erected altars to Baal and made an Asherah pole, as Ahab, the king of Israel, had done. He bowed down to the starry host and worshipped them, and that was not enough. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord said in Jerusalem, I will put my name. In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. And now comes, he sacrificed his own son in the fire, practiced sorcery and divination, and consulted mediums and spirits. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking the Lord to anger. We are fighting today for the value of life. Bob Pawson can tell you stories about this, you know, what the value of life is. Now let me tell you, under the reign of Manasseh for 55 years, a life of a human being was worth nothing. Because if you could throw it in the fire and sacrifice it to Moloch, you know that, you know, no life had any value. And his mother, unfortunately, was not able to help this boy before he became king to get to his senses. His father Hezekiah, on the other hand, he feared God, and he did what God told him. Then comes Amon, the son of Manasseh. And again, his mother is named. And again, the Bible says he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And he did so much evil, why? Because he learned very well from his father, and so his mother was probably also not either capable or willing to teach that boy something, because Amon was 22 years old, so there would have been enough time. But it says he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And then from an evil king like that, that was killed after 2 years in office because the people could not take it anymore, comes Josiah. And he's only 8 years old. He becomes king, and his mother's name is Jedidah. So what do you think this mother did? Evil grandfather, evil father, no real influence from there, not from the grandmother, not from the father, but here was Jedidah, and she was raising this child for God. Because what does it say? In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary to the temple of the Lord. It is interesting, in the book of Kings and in the book of Chronicles, whenever there was a king that was good in the sight of the Lord, who did what the Lord did, it almost every time has to do with something with the house of God. And so for the first time, Josiah sends his secretary to the house of the Lord. And then it said, Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary. So this Shaphan was sent to the house of the Lord, to the temple, to bring money so that people could do some construction and maintenance to the house. Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." And this is how it all starts. The word of God was found. Do you think Manasseh had anything in mind with the book of the Lord? No. In fact, he banned it. He banned all the worship for God and all these kinds of things. This is what people had to go through. And now, here is Josiah. Here is a mother, Jedidah, that raised this boy for the Lord. And the first thing that happens as an executive order, he sends somebody to the house of God, and they find the word. Interesting also for me what happened then, because again, a mother, a lady, is being asked to interpret what Josiah unfortunately had to read there about the anger of God that was now burning against these people. So he goes to the prophetess Huldah. You know, I have to tell you, I'm always amazed about this discussion, men, women, the different roles that we have. Yes, we do have different roles. But God loves women the same way he loves men. And he calls women the same way he calls men. And I want to show you today how that works. Because in my life, that's how it worked. So, Steve, can you warm up the machine to bring up a few things? I want to show you a few things that I had to discover when I looked at the subject of mothers. Second slide, Steve, please. Look at this. This is just in the book of Kings and Chronicles. Look how many mothers are mentioned here with their sons. They are all mothers of kings. And it is absolutely amazing to see this picture. We just dealt with these three that I highlighted in yellow. But there is others. There is a king called Asa. You see him there in the third row. This king Asa, and you see I selected good or evil for each king the way the Bible left us. King Asa was a good king. You know what? He did not have a mother. He was raised by his grandmother. Sounds familiar? It's interesting. We're the same way today in many instances. Then you had a mother there called Athaliah. She was Ahaziah's mother. She was a madly vindictive woman. And the fact that King Joash, he's further down, King Joash, he was also a king that at year seven, he was 7 years old when he became a king. It's amazing how it compares to Josiah. But King Joash became king, you know why? Because his aunt saved him from the wrath of Athaliah. She wanted to kill everybody after her sons died. So Joash was saved, and amazingly, when you read the word, his aunt placed him in the care of the high priest in the temple. That's where he grew up. That's the influence he had. So taking kids to church is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, wouldn't you think? So this is a list of the mothers that I just found in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and Chronicles. And sometimes you have two sources that tell you the same thing. You see, and again, it's interesting to notice, it seems that in age 20 in those days, that was a good age to become a king. But then you also had the distinctions where you had Joash and Josiah that were very, very young when they became kings. The other thing that is interesting to note is that the worst king, Manasseh, reigned the longest. However, I just did the math. There were 11 good kings and 10 evil kings. So we cannot just say everything is evil. We cannot really say that. At least the Word of God will not support us in that idea. The other thing I think that we miss most of the time, the total years the evil kings reigned was 109 years. That's a long time. That's five generations. But now comes the kicker. The time that the good kings reigned was three times that much. So don't think that God is not taking care of affairs in this world. If he did it with his people, he will do it with a great nation like America. He will do it the same in the nation from where I am, in Germany, or in Europe, for that matter. So this is basically the research and the result of that research just in the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles. Jedidah was a heroine when we consider this. Despite of a husband that was not on the same page with her and was evil to the core, she stood her ground and raised the boy Josiah for the Lord. And that is very important. Next slide, please. So other than my own mother, and I do have a biological mother, and God has blessed her because in January she will be 91. Aside from my own mother, I had two other mothers. And here is their names. I have no pictures of them. The pictures are all imprinted in my memory. I have not managed yet to download from my memory to a computer to show you a picture. Maybe as a next model, I will have that capability. I will also have a rear-view camera in the back of my head to see what's happening behind me. But Magdalena Rumla, or Magda, Mary Magdalene, is the favorite of John Flegger, the favorite person in the Bible. And Margarete, Marga, Hove, in the two places that I lived. Magdalena Rumla was somebody that I got to know when I became a Christian. And she embraced me. I didn't ask for anything, but all of a sudden she was there. And she liked me. And so she looked after me. She is the woman that is responsible for the fact that I got a very good high school diploma. What do you call it? Grade point average, I think you call it here. We just called it a note. But she gave me her apartment for several weeks for me to study. We had to do exams. The exams were very, very hard. Nobody knew what the exams were because the exams were conceived in Munich and then sent to the schools, and they could only be opened the day of the exam. So all of us had no clue what was in that exam. But she allowed me to do that. And Magda, she also prayed for me. I always knew that she was behind me. And I hope you remember, when you pray for somebody, you're right there with them. When you prayed for me, I felt every one of you sitting on my bedside or at bedside with me. Margarete Hove, when I came to Ingelheim and I began my career, I was in college there, I met this lady, Margarete Hove. I didn't look for her. But I met her. Somebody introduced me to her, and so I visited her one evening, and then I discovered that she was totally mesmerized with the fact that I made a career at the same company she worked. She was retired. Both of these ladies were retired. They were older ladies. In fact, Magda Rumla, she had white hair. I mean, white. It was probably washed with Jesus' blood. That's how white it was. As white as snow. Marga Hove, she was a secretary, an executive secretary in the same company that I was working for. So we had a connection. So I visited her. We spoke about spiritual things. We spoke about practical things. And then she gave me an envelope when I left. Just gave me an envelope. I had no idea what it was or why. She just said, "This is for you." First time we ever met. I went home. I opened the envelope, and it contained 50 Deutschmarks. Money. Now, you have to understand that when I went to college, my parents decided not to support me. So I went to college anyways. Because, you know by now already, I'm very independent and very proud. And I said, I'm going to do this. I knew that God wanted me to do that, so I didn't do anything illegal. But I went to college anyways. And I trusted, probably not the way I trust today, but I trusted that somehow this thing will work out. But the fact was that my room was mostly cold because I couldn't pay for the heating. My fridge was, it had a container of margarine in it and maybe a little bit of milk, but that was pretty much all I had. I didn't have much. My parents decided not to support me because I turned down a full scholarship to medical school, because God did not call me to be a medical doctor. But since my mother, and now we're back to mother, since my mother was so zealous for me to become something that she could never become, because she was in medical school, and then if you remember the Iron Curtain, communism, the communists came over, took over power in Romania, and she was expelled from medical school because we were German. So we were the enemy. So she wanted her oldest son to become a medical doctor. And she was very, very precise about that. So I turned down the scholarship that I got from the German army. And that was it. For 3 months, she didn't speak a word with me. And, of course, I had to suffer the pain because when I went to college to study business, that was absolutely not in the plan. A Christian cannot be a businessman. This is what my mother said, and I said, why? She said, because you have to lie as a businessman. I think quite a few of us have to pack our stuff and leave if that would be true. But I studied business anyways. So God used Marga Hove when I was in Ingelheim to care for me. And Marga Hove was praying for me. She was always on my side because she understood what it meant to go on a career. She dropped me money on a regular basis. I did. That was not the only time I got an envelope. And so I visited her once a month and had 1 or 2 hours with her. She made lovely tea, so our British friends would be very delighted to hear that. I didn't get any soft drinks or coffee, but I got tea. She was a very fine woman. She understood how those things work. And she just was there for me. She prayed for me when I was in Canada. She prayed for me when I was in Germany. And she took care of me unsolicited, except that God must have told her something. Now, I remember her very well because this is the first modern Bible I have ever gotten. The Germans have the Luther Bible. I think even if you would know good German, you would have difficulties reading it. It's worse than the King James. So she gave me a more modern translation. This was the first more modern translation, a Bruns Bible. Mr. Bruns translated the Bible and made it a little more modern. And for the first time, there were commentaries in the Bible. So this was what you would probably call today the New King James Version. Still not much better, but at least easier to read for me. Marga Hove died when we came back from Canada, and I inherited her own personal Bible. This is her own personal Bible. And this Bible has a problem. I want to give it to Elizabeth first. Can you read to me what she wrote in here?
I didn't get my glasses.
Oh. Who else speaks German here? Oh, where is... she's gone. Okay. I can tell you. I'll show you. Can you read this?
No.
Let's see the more younger people. Can you read this? Can you read anything? Can you tell me a letter? Can you read this? Tamara already looks like that. Tamara, can you read this? You see a letter? Any letter? Anything that resembles a letter? A P. A P. Wow. Can you read this?
Perfect.
Perfect. This is German shorthand. She was a secretary. She knew shorthand. The fastest person that speaks here, she could record everything on time. She knew exactly, and her Bible is full of commentaries in shorthand. So I never learned shorthand. So I cannot read anything, but this is what I inherited from Tante Marga, Hove, in Engelheim. So what does this mean? When God reminded me of these two ladies, he reminded me that even in times where the going was tougher and rougher for me, that he always had somebody who took care of me. This is how God took care of me. He took care of me through other people. And this was very significant for me, and I remembered it. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Mark, he makes a remark to the disciples when Peter tells him that we left everything, so what's in it for us? He says, whoever leaves his father, his mother, his brothers, his sisters, his fields, his house, his everything, and joins the kingdom, he will get back. How many times? 100-fold, 100 times. Fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, children, fields, all these things. So it's not just biological. It's not just biological. So this was very important to me, and I hope that it is encouraging for you also to think of how God is taking care of you. But that doesn't mean that we're closed now and this is it. This, of course, is, what do you call it, a calling for us, because we should be the same way. So if I received the favor of these two ladies and the favor of other people, God is basically telling me that I should consider maybe I could return this favor. Now that I'm older, I don't have white hair yet, but it's getting there. Exactly. When I say I have gray hair, some people contest that it's less than gray. But I want to encourage particularly you ladies. There is something about mothers, and there is something about ladies that we men cannot replicate quite well. But there is something about the ladies, but it also applies to the men. That God may put on your heart a young person that you can take under your fold, you can come alongside them, and you can help them out. And to you, ladies, or even gentlemen, who are not of the same biological line, if it is like me, the least I have listened to were my parents. My parents were embarrassing. My parents were awful. They were always unjust to me. They were always unfair. Now, I'm not talking that way anymore, but in those days, that's how it was. I had plenty of reason not to listen to my parents. And I have to say, it was good that I had two other mothers, because I would listen to them. And they would not spare to put me in my place, because that's also something we need to have. And sometimes you speak to a third person differently than you speak to your parents. Maybe you also tell them stuff that you will never, ever tell your parents. You can talk about spiritual things differently than with your parents. Because, let's be clear on this, sometimes as parents, even if we get an innocent question, we try to answer it like this. I had to learn that. So what does this mean? Next slide, Steve, please. You may say, well, this is nothing for me. Well, maybe it's nothing for you. But this is usually how we object to this call. Anthony, should I know something? Yes, I borrowed a quote from Bernie. I'm sorry, but the quote is so good that I didn't dare to change it. But you will say, what can I do? And Bernie, it's, I only deliver auto parts. That's the quote. What Bernie will tell you now is that I even modified it a little bit, because if he says that, I say, and I do not even deliver auto parts. So what do I know? I have no idea. You may use that excuse or that objection, and you will say, I'm a nobody. Well, I can give you very good news. God loves nobodies. He loves them. Jedidah was a nobody because only her name is mentioned. God did not keep a remembrance of anything else that she did other than to raise that boy for God. Nothing else. Yeah, who am I? I'm a nobody. You know, Google me. You may find a picture of me on the entire internet. That means I'm a nobody. I mean, there is not much about me anywhere publicly. I have so little time left. Yes, as I told you a while ago before we had Pastor Owen, I'm not the future of this church. I'm too old for that. But I can help the future of the church. I hope you remembered. I can help the future of the church be that future. And because we have so little time left, we better hurry up. So even that has a positive spin to it. I have no influence on the outcome. That is correct. However, if we raise somebody for the Lord, we can never, ever take God out of the equation. Yeah? Josiah, even though he was raised by Jedidah, if you read the story, he made a big boo-boo. And when you read about King Manasseh, you have to read the entire story. Because even though his mother did not care much about raising him the proper way, even Manasseh eventually repented from his sins. And you know how it works. In heaven, there is a big party every time somebody repents. Every time. The other excuse is, if you only knew my circumstances. Yeah? My husband and I are not on the same page. Well, Jedidah can tell you a story about that. And many of the other mothers. That you are not on the same page. That doesn't mean that you should stop doing what you are convicted to do. There is so little reinforcement, so little support. There is many people in this world that live in totally hostile situations, and yet they do stay the course. Why? Because they know that God is keeping their back. And when you have the 800-pound gorilla sitting in your corner, I think that will give you at least a little bit of confidence. So we need men and women who are steadfast and faithful in their walk with God. And when I say men and women, I mean young folks that have grown up to be men and women. In order to get men and women like them, we need mothers like Jedidah to raise them for God. So I hope and I pray that God puts somebody on your heart. How does that work? Well, we older folks, we sometimes can spot young people that we like, where there is a natural chemistry, and you can tell that, that nothing will fool you. Go talk to them. Go start being interested for them. Find out what they're doing. Yeah, do it like me. I always ask Eminem, which is Emma, how many hours she slept the night before. Because she beats me hand down. She can survive on 2 hours sleep easy. I'm not there yet. I still need 4 hours. But she beats me hands down. For you young people, if you see somebody that you like, where you feel that there might be a connection, go talk to those folks. Talk to them and see if they would like to befriend you. Stop being on Facebook all the time. Talk to them in person and ask them if they would like to befriend you. And then for us older folks, let's come alongside them and help them out in their quest in life. Because this is what the two ladies did for me. They really helped me out. So I hope what God put on my heart is of some relevance to you. Because that's what we need. And I'm very, very thankful today that my adopted daughter is here today to listen to this. Because I do have a lot of adopted daughters and sons besides our own kids. And it's a lot of fun, I have to tell you. Amen.
Thank you, Christian. If you were taking notes in any of that, I just want to throw out Titus 2. Titus 2 actually speaks very much the heart of what God put on Christian today regarding the older ministering to the younger. So yeah, we all have a part. So let's be encouraged that no matter how old you are, God's not done with any one of us, and that we do have a responsibility to pass on the faith to those who are in our sphere of influence, right? So would you stand with me for our closing prayer? Father, thank you for the promise that you don't leave us nor forsake us. We are not orphans, Lord, even though we feel rejected by people at times. And many of us in our past, we felt the rejection of even our biological mothers and fathers. But thank you for creating this spiritual body, Lord, that Christ, you unite us and you give us a love to speak into, God, all those hurts and all those pains, and to be present through your body to give us spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers and brothers and sisters, that we are a family, and this is all because of you. In Christ alone, in Christ alone, you can do this. It is because of you. So thank you, God, for everyone here, and remind us this week of our part in this Christmas season to be your hands of love to those that need it most, Lord God, to see our part and our significance, to be a mother, to be a father, a brother and a sister, to those who have none. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.